We left off at the top of the Hamid Aleph. So the Gemara was discussing, of course, in great detail the Machlokes Rav and Rav, but the reasons for saying before Necha, before Nechtam. And then they went through us a little bit of a curveball that even according to Rav, who at least at one time in history insisted on the fact that Ein became the Shmada, but they didn't want to wear or follow a different interpretation for Shanamar. But at one time in history, the saying of before Nechtam was very, very important. At a later point, the history became a little bit less important because Nachash Alamdu. The years went on, as we mentioned in the previous year, that as more and more Jews ended up leaving Eretz Yisrael and coming to places in the Bina Sayyam, so the level of Torah scholarship actually went up a little bit in the Bina Sayyam, and therefore there was really no need to say B'fai Nechem, B'fai Nechem anymore. However, there was an added gezeira, there was an added decree that even though the original reason doesn't apply, you never know what's going to happen. You know, we find this in other areas of Allah as well. But we're very, very weary to almost like to revert back to where we were because things may change very, very quickly, especially in areas of Chutz La'aretz. It's actually part of the same type of an approach that the Gemara has in the second Beit. You have the shame, you have another time, another place. That same kind of an idea that gezeiros and the kodesh that were made in Chutz La'aretz, we goals is too fragile. The condition and goals change very quickly, so we're not going to go run to change these areas right away. But back to our story of the Bamid Aleph, the Gemara says that even though the real reason doesn't apply, but they made a gezeira, Sheba Yachsa Davalu Kukulo. So let's go back to the Bamid Aleph. It's about 7 or 8 lines from the top, where the Gemara was using gezeira, Sheba Yachsa Davalu Kukulo. We're afraid things may go back, and therefore we're going to insist on saying it. Ihachi, the Gemara says. If you really accept that gezeira, really, really concerned that things may revert back to where they were, so how come we gave a little bit of a dispensation for that strange case we spoke about in the previous year about a fellow who brought a get and then the last minute he couldn't say before Nachtav. He turned deaf mute right after he presented the get. So the Mishnah said, Mishkefel, not so terrible. The Gemara says, if you're really insisting on saying before Nachtav this man hazeh, then why, even in that case, should you be so insistent? Answer the Gemara, Pikech min ischarish milsu bo shchicha. That is such a bizarre scenario. It took us 20 minutes to figure out what the case was. It's such a strange case. The guy brings a get, and he's perfectly healthy, and then nebuch, he goes off right afterwards. That's what we call a milsu bo shchicha, something that's uncommon. We have a rule, milsu bo shchicha lo gozu barabonon. The general rule in gezeiros to rabbanon, that we don't make gezeiros, we don't make decrees, but the rabbanon, on things that are really, really abnormal. And since this is considered to be abnormal, we're not going to insist on saying before Nechtav after there's no real concern anymore. Just as a gezeira, things may go wrong, that's very too far-fetched. Yes, is that true? That any case of the bringing of a get that's far-fetched, we don't insist on before Nechtav, but isha toshicha, utina and ha'isha atzma mevi agita, u'buvad shetzvich alom before Nechtav, before Nechtav. It's a mishnah, very strange mishnah at the end of the second parak, that a woman herself can be her own shaliach to bring her own get. Now, just in case you're scratching your head and trying to figure out how did that happen exactly, doesn't a shaliach mean Reuven sending a get with Shimon to bring to Rachel? If Rachel is bringing the get to herself, so that's not a shaliach, she's getting the get. So don't feel bad. The Gemara also scratched his head a long time at the end of the second parak, trying to figure out what's the case exactly. You appoint a very, very strange appointment of a shaliach, but it happens. Once in a blue moon, you can have such a crazy kind of shalichus. And the Mishnah says that if and when the woman herself brings her own get, she has to say before Nechtam. So says the Gemara, if you really believe that you don't say before Nechtam on bizarre cases, it's hard to envision a more bizarre case than a woman bringing her own shaliach. Says the Gemara, no. She lo tachlok b'shalichos. We don't want to make
she bringing her get.
She means from her own get from Bina Zayam. She's the shaliach, she's everything, lock, stock, and barrel. She's the woman, the shaliach. Oh, that's the question. That's the Gemara. Yes, what do you mean shaliach? The get was chav right away. So the Gemara has a lot of trouble in Chavez. You got to read Chavez. There's a lot of trouble in Chavez. What's the case? How in the world could she be shaliach? Didn't already take effect when she got it. So the Gemara's going to work on that really, really hard. So if we start to give that answer now, we'll never finish this down. So put it on hold for a couple of weeks. So comes the Gemara and says, no, shlotachlik b'shalichos. We don't want to set up a system saying some shalichim do say it, some shalichim don't say it. All shalichim have to say b'fan a nechta, b'fan a nechta, low plug across the board. If you can't, because it turned deaf mute. Okay, so we'll deal with it after it happens. But for us to set up a system from scratch, that some shlichas yes, some shlichas no, that's too risky. What if the husband himself brings the get from Dina Sayam? Alama Tanya, why do we learn the Braisa that says, if the husband himself brings the get from Dina Sayam, he doesn't have to say before Necha Fayanechta. He asks the Gemara, Alopla, if you really believe that any get that starts from Chutzlars, any get that emanates from Dina Sayam, requires before Necha finish, no questions, no answers and buts. So what's the difference when he's the one who brings it? Answer the Gemara. Nah, that's ridiculous already. To say before Necha for the husband, that makes no sense. Why did Chazal institute the saying of before Necha, before Necha? Because we are afraid lest the husband come and start to cause trouble and say that the get was really a forgery. Says the Gemara, Hashka make it nochet le biyote. He's holding the get in his hands. And then tomorrow he's going to start screaming to get with a forgery. That's already a little. That's more than a little far-fetched. That's just literally impossible. So the basic structure of the Gemara remains that even though there are cases that probably don't require b'fayanechem, because the reality is people are well acquainted with the dinim of l'shvat at this point in history. We don't want to make any exceptions. Once the rule was instituted, you never know what's going to happen. And therefore, as a gazir across the board, you have to say, the husband is so fundamentally different that the whole concern never ever applied to the husband. Therefore, there's no need to say the gazir was not that different. The gazir was but it's the husband who's chepering about the mishma. That's what Tosis points out, that on our own, we probably wouldn't be so worried about Lishma. As the Gemara itself said in that day, the overwhelming odds are that this get was really kosher. Most of the Dayan, even Chutzot, who are aware of that law. What we're afraid is the following, that a get's going to be brought, and then the husband's going to come next month and start yelling and screaming, "One's written Lishma," and that's going to cause chaos for us. So if we know for a fact the husband's not showing up because he's the one who just brought the get last week, then on our own initiative, we're not going to be kosher, even for Lishma. That's the way the Gemara seems to be saying. So the Gemara keeps on going. Toshma, want to read the following proof. The Barmine Shmuel Ravuna. Shmuel asked Ravuna the following question. Shnayim Sheviu get from Dina Sayam. If two Shalichim bring a get from Dina Sayam, Shalichim Sheyomu, Fainechtam, Fainechtam, or Ain't Shalichim. Must they two together say the Fainechtam? Amalei, Ain't Shalichim. So the response of Ravuna was no, there's no need to say the Fainechtam, Fainechtam. What was the proof? If these two Eidim would say, we were there when the woman was divorced, then we didn't have a get. If two Eidim would walk in and say, we saw a divorce in the Medina Sayam 6 months ago, they would be believed. So they would be believed to say there was a gerusha that took place, even though they can't produce any paper. So now when they're producing a paper, you're going to tell them, when they say, we don't trust yourself, how do you know? Maybe it's not true. You have to find out. That just doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, this halacha, that we're not going to insist on the Fari Nechta when there are two, the Rava Nicha. According to Rava, that makes a lot of sense. But the Rava Kasha, according to Rava, we still have this thing that's gnawing away at us. There's always this concern of Lishma, either a real concern of Lishma or a husband causing Torah, so there's a concern of Lishma. So according to Rava, why is it that two people don't have to say the Fari Nechta? End of the day, there's still that concern of Lishma. You're right. That if we were talking about a time in history where there was a real legitimate concern, then we would insist on saying b'fanei nechtav, even if it was two Eidim, even two Shlichim, sorry. But the only thing is, this statement of Shmuel Rabuna that you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav when there are two, it's l'acha shalomdu. So the Yavash Shalom do not so machmir. Ihochi says the Gemara Chad Nami. Let's be consistent. If you're not concerned with the Shema anymore because it's Yavash Shalom do, but the Dinam are proficient, then why are you ever insisting on Befanei Nechtav? Even one Shuliach, we should discard the Halacha Befanei Nechtav. No, Gezei Rishim Yachad Dov Kukulov. Sounds familiar. The same Shach Betash from the top. No, we're afraid to do away with this Gezei. We're afraid to do away with the requirement of Befanei Nechtav. Because we're afraid things may go back to where they were, that the Bani Din were not so proficient. So the Gemara is the same story, back in the same pickle. So make up your mind. Are you concerned things are going to go back to where they were or not? If you're really concerned, then even two shlichim should have to say the fine after. If you're not concerned, so let one shlich get away with it. How can you just simply draw a distinction between one and two? And it's the Gemara, the same pismo, the same story we said before. Betray the ma'isu, git the milsa lo shchicha. Who in the world sends two shlichim to bring again? The goal of the shliach is to deliver again. Why do I have to pay two guys? Pay two mailmen to take my mail from the guy. One mailman to take my mail. I said one guy to bring the get. Something that's abnormal, we're not going to insist on saying before Nechtav. Since the saying before Nechtav today is not really required, says Rabbah. It's really only a gezeira shemiyach, so those things may go back to where they were. That gezeira is measured. That gezeira only applies when it's a normal scenario. The minute that it's out of the ordinary, there is no need. Milslo shchichah gazav rabbanan. He asks the Gemara the same exact question he asked in the previous one. But isha lo shchichah utnan isha atzvam via gita b'vachi atzvam shchichah lo mufanecha mufanechta. When a woman brings her own get, that wild case of Rav Chabez, we still didn't explain that wild case when a woman brings her own get and still she has to say mufanechta. Says the Gemara, no, so tachlok b'shlichos, because we don't want to differentiate shlichos. If it's one shliach, you don't want to start asking yourselves, is it Reuben, is it Shimon, is it Rachel, is it Sarah? One shliach walks to the base, then we throw at them the requirement to say, where's the same question as before. Ba'al nami. So if so, the husband himself brings the get. You should have to say, if he himself brings his get, so he doesn't have to say, says Igmar, no, that's totally different. As same as we said before. Time of my Amar Rabban and Tzachlam b'fanecha b'fanechtam. The whole reason for b'fanechtam was duma asibal ma'arup also. We're afraid the husband's gonna stir the pot. He's gonna cause trouble. Hashda make it nachal biyad. He's holding the get. Rurikum arulay. What are you afraid of? He himself's bringing the get. Tomorrow he's gonna say it was mezuyif. That would be pretty absurd. And therefore, the husband is no exception to the rule. So the whole flow of the Gemara was really identical. That the basic theme of the Gemara is that even according to Rabbah, who insists on the Shema, and therefore Bizman Azeh, we should probably not require the Fayin Echtav, we're still worried, Zeir Shemiyah, the Gemara Kul. There was an added layer of decree that was instituted. We're afraid things may revert back to where they were. But that added layer, that layer of concern, Zeirah, that's a little bit tempered. That Milsa Lo Shchicha, we're not going to be so careful about that. And again, you have to go case by case to see what is covered by Milsa Lo Shchicha and what is not. So although the Gemara was first talking about the crazy case of the person who couldn't speak after giving the get, and now the Gemara is talking about the bizarre case of two people giving it in, yeah, a little bit different in nature, but the same flow, the same Shat Mataya applies to both. The Gemara is still relentless, we're still Rav and Rava. But some yeshivas, they go very, very slow. And they're still holding on the Chanukah time. They're still on the pay. Means they think that the entire Masechta is Masechta before Nechta, before Nechta. Got to get out of it before Nechta. We'll get in the bench. We're getting out of it before Nechta. Not all that much more. So Toshma, I'm still going back to Rabbi and Rabbi. Hanevi Gevim Din Esayam, V'nastala V'lo Omala before Nechta, before Nechta. A person brings a Gevim Din Esayam, and he should have said before Nechta, before Nechta, and he didn't say it. Why didn't he say it? He forgot. Tachas, bottom line is, he didn't say before Nechav or Nechav, and he left, he's not here anymore. Now what do you do? So comes the Bryce and says, in this Kayim, the Chosm of Kosher, the Imlav Posel, if we could do Kiyam Shtaros, if we could find witnesses who identify the signatures, then we're in good shape, and then the get is acceptable. And if not, then we're in trouble. Then we're gonna have a big problem. You see from here, that the requirement of the goal of saying before Nechtav is not to cause sorrow for a woman. You want to make life easier for her. Sometimes people think the more we do, the harder we make it. No, forget the opposite. We're making it better for her. If we wouldn't say before Nechtav, and then somebody would question, yeah, we'd have to scrounge around, and who knows whether we'll find Adam to declare that the signatures are legitimate. So we're going to make life easy for the woman, and we're going to get rid of any concerns before they arise. So the whole takana for nechta was the tovas aisha, wasn't the ras aisha, the tovas aisha. And if you, for whatever reason, didn't do it, so then you fall back on the harder solution of kiyam shtaros. Says the Gemara, at the end of the day, the Brice is telling us that whatever concerns before the Nechta, for the Nechta required, that those can be solved with Kiyum Sharas. So the Rava Nicha. That makes a lot of sense according to Rava. Because according to Rava, the whole reason of before the Nechta was because of a concern of a forgery. So the better way to confirm that it's not a forgery is to Kiyum Sharas. But according to the Rabbah, who says that we're worried about something else, something external, namely some problem with Shema, so it's very nice. So we prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that these signatures are legitimate. That proves nothing. It doesn't tell us that the get was written in Shema. So how in the world does Kim Shtar's work according to Rabbah? So the Rabbah Nicha, Rabbah Kash, says the Gemara, back to what we said before, that this Braisa that lets you get away with Kim Shtar's, this must be after there's no real concern anymore. This is post the days of the real concern. Says the Gemara, wait, it says, but you yourself, in the last 30 lines, told us that even Rava concedes that although Me'ikar Adin, there's really no need for the Farnechta today, but Chazal did not relent on it. Chazal still insisted on it as a Gezeira Shemiyach Zadavu Kukulo. So the Brisa still doesn't make any sense according to Rava. According to Rava, bottom line is there was an original need to say before Nechtav. True, that original need is no longer present, but the Gezeira, things may get messed up, still very much is present. So we're still stuck. We still don't know, according to Rava, what is going on. Why is it, according to Rava, that the Brisa lets you get away with merely doing Kiyum Shtaros? Throws the Gemara in a whole new factor. We move to the Chilant. Kishani says, there's more to the Brisa than meets the eye. It means when we said that the get was given without saying before nechtam, the woman thought the get was kosher. We all thought the get was kosher. We all forgot the first mission of Gittin. The woman went ahead and got remarried. She's married for 5 years, and now somebody wakes up and realizes, Gevalt, we just learned Gittin, hey, Gevalt, we should have said before nechtam. So what do? So at that point, we're going to run to do Kiyum Shtaros. So again, we're not going to really, really solve the Lishma problem. But you know what? We're not so worried about the Lishma problem because it's Liachah Shalom Nu, and she already got married. So to go disqualify a get after she's married already to somebody else, and there was no real concern in the first place, but that's already too much. That's, even Rabbi would say, I can't believe it. Even Rabbi would concede, forget about Lishma. Yehochi, that's really the child of Raisa. Why does the Brisa give the reason for the halacha? The reason why it's okay and we don't have to worry about it is because we're trying to be makil, but it shouldn't have said is we should be nisesu. The Brisa should have said the punchline. The eager is chasam and a sefer. If the whole punchline of the Brisa is that we're looking the other way because she's married, why didn't the Brisa tell us that she got married? That's the most important piece of information that's missing in the Brisa. The Brisa says, no, the Brisa means like this. Hachika amar. You have to read a little bit into the Brisa. The Brisa is almost asking the unasked question, the unwritten question, that maybe we should stick to our guns and actually make a get divorced. Maybe we should declare this get is problematic and she got married to Isser. So that's what the Brisa is addressing, why we don't do that. You know why we don't do that? The funny nechtav is the tovah's isha. The woman's already married to somebody else. That's not the greatest tovah to tell her to get divorced from a second husband. That would be absurd. And therefore, we're going to look the other way. So we're going to look the other way because there's no real problem anyway. And we're going to look the other way because she already got married. If the prior husband comes and starts making a tovah about it, they say, "Prekatil medicine show." Right? What are we going to do at that point? And again, that whole idea of quote unquote being cheshish for the first husband. So that's really a chumra gabi chumra gabi chumra min derabbanan. Min haTorah, as we learned all the back in our days, this gets kosher. There's no question this gets kosher because Rav b'kiyum him. Even Rav, who said that they weren't b'kiyum, he never really meant to say no one's b'kiyum. He said Rav b'kiyum. So I'm not sure we're going to, because of our far-fetched concern, we're going to make her get divorced. If Shalom, I don't think so. I don't think we worry about that. So we're, everything is in our favor. We're trying as hard as possible. We almost like we're doing a juggling act there. On the one hand, we want to keep this takana for nechta. It was instituted for a good reason. And the reason sometimes doesn't apply, sometimes doesn't apply. So, as a general rule, Dim Drabanan, we don't all of a sudden jump to get rid of Dim Drabanan just because the particular location you are in, the reason doesn't apply. So we have that, consideration. On the other hand, as we already saw back at the Gimel, the last thing we want to know is to cause trouble. The last thing we want to do is make the woman never have to go get another get. And then the husband, first husband is screaming. So that's the last thing we want to do. So we're walking a tightrope. That's what we're going to do. Hey, trying to chazal, trying to walk that tightrope. On the one hand, keep the takana before the echdav as intact as possible. On the other hand, not ending up because of this somewhat far-fetched takana, end up ruining this woman's life. That's the last thing we want to do. We should be good at Kilim Rabbanan. So Chazal figured out how to work out the details that we can have a takana, you know, so we can have a takana, but after we say it's not going to cause too much trouble for the woman.
The idea is to be making on the woman. Why, let's say, even in the case of two, she's from the baby, even though it's not supposed to be cut.
No, so the end of the month included that really not. We said, I mean, why don't we do it in order to? So that's the third factor to Kodesh. That Chazal always are very, very nervous that, as a general rule, we're not supposed to tamper with Dinim Deraisa. The starting point is the Torah is given to us by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the mitzvah Torah. The Torah tells Chazal that if and when there's a tzorech, you're allowed to make the Kodesh, you know, like you say, we like mitzvahs, but it has to be a tzorech. So you can't make a takanas of chamim that makes no sense. It's impossible to make a takanas of chamim that's so far-fetched, it's not addressing a real concern. That would be a potential issue of almost like a baltosif kind of halacha. So again, we're walking the tightrope. That's what the Beis Din did all day. They sat in Lishkas HaGosses and try to figure out, you know, when is it appropriate to make a takanas, when is it not appropriate? That's what we spent all the sugyas trying to figure out, because Din Rabbanan are only allowed to be instituted if and when they're appropriate. So the Gemara on the top of the day says, so time of my, why are we willing to be, so to speak, makel here? The whole reason for the whole before the echta lock, stack, and barrel is because we're afraid the husband is going to come. As we said back in the days, minatora, none of this applies. Minatora, rope, kime, minatora, there's nothing to worry about. It's also unlikely, but lest the husband comes and causes trouble. Hashtabal lokum ma'arim. Lamais, the husband's not screaming. Anan nekav ra'arallah. So we're going to cause trouble. And the woman got married already. Somebody forgot 6 months ago to say before Nechav, before Nechav. So the woman's got married already. So all of a sudden, we're going to wake up and cause trouble. And then leave it alone. Just let it be. Nobody said before Nechav, before Nechav. We'll do a quick kibshar on the side. I want you to know. And call it a day. For us to cause trouble on a get that was already given. When we marry, we're not going to. So Gemara finally takes this machlokes, Rabba and Rabba, which was a raging machlokes in Babel. Rabba and Rabba, both the great Torah leaders of Babel. And says, you know, this machlokes really has its roots in an earlier world, in earlier generations. It goes back actually to the days of Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Shimon and Levi, who were the first generation Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael. So we're talking a couple of generations earlier and a different time, a different place. So this machlokes, Rabbi, really goes back before that. The plutus of Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Shimon and Levi. Chad Omar, one of these 12 Amoraim said, Mephisha'en Bikim Lishma. Chad Omar, Mephisha'en Bikim Lishma. And the other one said, because there aren't eight around to authenticate the signatures. So very often you have this, that the machloikis that begins in one generation didn't really begin there. It's an old, old machloikis. Sometimes you will have machloikis in Asia. In Europe, they were fighting about this. 500 years ago, they were still fighting about this issue. So there are issues that sometimes are unresolved machloikis. So the Gemara says this is one of those. Now the Gemara is just trying to pinpoint who held what on this topic. It would appear that we can conclude that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the one who was concerned with Lishma. Why? Because of the following story. Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba, Isaac Gitel Kameh Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba brought a get in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Amalei, Tzrichna Lameyma Fainechtam Olo. And he asked him, is it necessary to say Fainechtam? So he asked him, do we have to follow what it says in the Mishnah? Very strange question. The Mishnah predated the Mishnah. So he was asking, do we have to follow the Mishnah now? Amalei Tzricha said, no, you don't have to. You know why? La Amru El Medaris HaRishayinim She'ein Bekiyim Lishma. That Mishnah was written for the Frida Gedaris in the old days when they didn't know the Dibb of Lishma. The Medaris HaCharonim, the Bekiyim Lishma. No, in our days already, in the days of Mishnah and Levi, so we're talking about Mishnah and Levi of Yochanan, we're talking about these with Tamidim and Midan Yossi, we're talking about already the mid-200s, so 150 years after the Churban, talking about that there were many, many strong Jewish communities already in Chutz Lawrence. So by that point, the Duras HaCharonim, people already knew the Dinah Lishma, and there was no need to say B'fan Nechem Fan Nechem. So you see from the fact that Rabbi Shimon Levi was focusing on the Lishma aspect, so just dying, so it sounds like, you're right, Rabbi Shimon Levi was a Lishma person, he was a rabbi person. Yes, the Gemara, this story doesn't make any sense. There are a lot of holes in the story. Says the Gemara, Tisvara, does this story really make sense? The Rabbi slayed the Rabbi. We said earlier that Rabbi never denied Rabbi's reason. Of course, Rabbi's reason was right. Rabbi added on the concerns. How do you make any sense that statement? That today, we all know the Shema, nothing to worry about. That only solves the problem. The Ode, Hamin and Shemi Yachad of Kukulo. He said, wait a second, didn't we just say about six times on Amud Aleph that even in the later years, they didn't do away with the Fanechtam? We're always afraid that maybe things could revert back to the bad days, the days when they weren't proficient in the Shema. So the whole story doesn't make any sense. He said, first of all, Rava's concern is a legitimate concern according to Rava. So just saying that we're Tamid Chacham now, and therefore there's no Shema problem, doesn't solve that problem. And number two, what happened to the Gezeirah Shem Yachad of Kukulo? The Gemara says, you're right, that there was something that was missing in the story. There were actually two Shlichim who arrived. There was Ushim Rabba and somebody else together with him. That's a throwback to Amud Aleph. We said, oh, there are two Shlichim. What's the different color? Two Shlichim. That's like an Egos. All the different reasons that we said in Amud Aleph. If there are two messages, you don't have to say it. So how come the other messenger wasn't mentioned? If you're already telling a story, get the facts of the story right. Because Rav Shimon was the great Talmid Chacham. Some other guy was slumping along as the second mailman on this day. It's not for covenant. It's like saying, let me tell you who came to the student today. Rav Moshe and Yankel came to the you're telling him the story. So Moshe came to the Sudan. I tell you, the Yankel came to the Sudan also. So when the story was being told over generation to generation, so it was Rav Shimon, but no, he was a chosh with the bomb. He was a shlich and again. But there was somebody else present. And it was the existence of that second Yankel that enabled us not to say find Echafah. So we think that we've concluded the sugya. What leads us to believe is there are two dots here. Two dots usually, but the problem is the two dots are put in by the printers, by the non-Jewish printers, when they thought the sugya was over. But it's almost, but not quite. Not about to be over. It must says itma. They come and ostelo. So now that we know that the shalich is coming and he's bringing the get, how many people have to be present when the get is being given? Now, here the Gemara is introducing to us the possibility of a Beis Din being present for the receiving of the get. We spoke a little bit back at the Gimel, the Dal, about Eidim. So the get has to be given the presence of Eidim. And that we're pretty comfortable with most of the time. But here we're talking about potentially opening up the ante. Maybe we require a Beis Din to be present for the giving of this get, for the recitation of the Fainechah. So if they come in Oksala, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, two Amoroi, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, and also first generation of Amoroi and Eretz Yisrael, they argued about this. So one of them said that the get has to be presented merely in front of two. That somehow two is good enough for the B'fai Nechtam. And the other one said, no, you need more than that. You need actually three. So the Gemara says, we should seem to be able to conclude that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that two is sufficient. The Rabban Baruch Chizda Isaac, the coming to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabban Baruch Chizda once brought a get in front of Rabbi Yochanan. But Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said, Zil Havla, he said to Rabban Baruch Chizda, give her the get, the ape tray in front of two. The Emlu Mufanecha Fanechtam, and say Mufanecha Fanechtam in front of those two, Tistayim. That's not the proof. But that Inochanami, that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said two was sufficient, Rabbi Chizda was the one who said he required three. But the question the Gemara is about to embark upon is, what does this depend on? What is this machlokes? Arbitrary, I said two, so three. What does it mean? So the Gemara suggests that maybe this requirement of either two or three to be present at the giving of the get, and particularly the saying of Fani Nechtav, goes back to the ABCs. Why are you saying by Nechtav in the first place? If you're saying it for Rabba's reason, should that insist on two or three? If you're saying it for Rabba's reason, should that suffice for two or should you insist on three? So it's a little bit unclear. The Gemara says, maybe the machlokes was this very point. The man of Neshayim, the one who says two is sufficient, because some of the fish ain't the key in Lishma. It's simply to tell us the fact that it was written Lishma. You don't need a real Beis Din for that. That's not really the purview of Beis Din. Therefore, two witnesses are good enough. The man of Neshayim, because some of the fish ain't the key in Lishma. The one who said, maybe three, That's a Rava story. That's the Kim Shtaros. Kim Shtaros is the Maisa Beis Din. You can only authenticate signatures in the presence of a court, in the presence of a Beis Din. So once you're talking the language of Beis Din, then L'chol should require three. So the Gemara is suggesting at this point the two or three numbers maybe open as a throwback to Rabbi.
So when we're discussing the language, we don't make them say the Panay Nechka Mushma, the Panay Nechka Mushma. These are these two people who say,
It would depend, right? I mean, according to Rashi, who says that a question has to be followed by wasn't Lishma, then these two people would have to ask that. But the goal is, it's not really a Moshe based. That's the key that the Gemara thinks. That if you're talking the language of Kim Shtaros, that's based in territory. If you're talking the language of Lishma, that's not a based in territory. That's going to be the root of this question.
We know that Rabbi
holds it. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do still. So this part of the thing, I think we're going to have to hold off until after Rosh Hashanah. All right, so what's that? So tomorrow, Mr. Shem, we'll go back to the Yom Shurim. And then next week, so we're obviously going to do Rosh Hashanah. Haven't figured out a way to have Shia yet in Rosh Hashanah. So we went to the guy we'll have. We'll just play around with the sniffles again. It'll be a funny playing around with. Okay, so we'll continue off to the Shem next week. But so Wednesday will be the Yom again, and then by Thursday, we'll go back to the Yom Shurim. Okay.